Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com. Hello, one of the biggest learnings from this past holiday season is how dramatically consumer behavior is changing. People are using an arsenal of smartphones and mobile devices, social apps, tablets, and other tools to research prices, redeem coupons, and make purchases. And at the same time, retailers are using an ever-growing list of channels and touch points to influence and enhance the customer experience. So for today's interview, I've asked an expert from one of the world's most well-known brands to share how they are rethinking their approach to customer engagement and customer experience. Her name is Susan Jurovics, and Susan is a Senior Vice President of Global Retail CRM and Brand Marketing at Sony Corporation of America, where she is responsible for developing and executing the company's brand, digital, and social strategies. And she's on a cross-functional team that is currently re-architecting Sony's global digital presence. Now, I know Susan from my days at Sony Electronics, and she's speaking at the upcoming National Retail Federation's Retail Big Show on the topic of the Great Convergence. So I wanted to talk with her today. So welcome, Susan.
Hi, Denise.
Hi there. Well, I want to jump right into the questions. I have quite a few. So tell me just generally, what are some of the things that you're working on in the digital and social space at Sony?
We have been quite busy for quite some time. You know us as a consumer electronics manufacturer. You, Denise, and lots of people in the space also know us as a creator of the technology that is making these consumer changes happen so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things we're working on right now in the digital space relate to branding and marketing as well as e-commerce. And really, it implies a knowledge deeply about the channels and knowing how and why consumers actually use these. We're also looking at our owned and owned digital channels as media properties to launch key content, product and service messages, which we've recently done, for example, for the Skyfall film from the newest installation of James Bond.
Right, right. Wow, so you're covering a lot of bases there.
We are. And again, a lot of it goes back to understanding, as you hinted in your opening remarks, and what we'll talk more about at the NRF, the proliferation of these devices, how consumers are using the devices, and how content and messaging are actually getting to consumers in a way that's been different than ever before.
Right, right. So let's dig into this a little bit. Being omni-channel is kind of like the big buzz term in customer experience these days. And I believe that means that, we want to deliver a seamless customer experience through all available channels, whether that be brick and mortar, online, mobile, TV, gaming platforms, etc. Do you feel like consumers really want to use all of these channels, and do they want to use them simultaneously? And if so, how is Sony responding to this desire?
Okay, so you've asked a couple really good questions in there, and let's break it down a little bit.
Okay.
I think being omni-channel is not necessarily a simultaneous use of all the channels, but using the channels in the most effective way that resonates with a consumer. For first, utility, and second of all, for delivery of experience. Our research in the U.S., for example, with current Sony.com users, is showing that 84% of them own smartphones. That is up more than 23 points
Wow.
from just 18 months ago.
Wow.
And what we're finding from multiple studies that's syndicated and work that we're doing with consumers and partners in the space is that this activity of what you're calling simultaneous usage of the channel is happening. There's a lot of co-viewing across screens, for example, watching something on TV, seeing a commercial for something, going on your phone or your tablet or maybe your laptop that you happen to be watching TV with adjacent to you, and actually going on for more information. So there's a lot of simultaneous viewing. What we might look at is also multitasking,
mm-hmm.
but also it really is directing relatedly back to how consumers want the utility for the information that they're seeking at the time. And sometimes utility is for information, commerce, and transactions, and sometimes it's just for escapism and enjoyment.
Right. Well, that's interesting because that, I think, brings a different understanding to utility. It doesn't necessarily need to be all about productivity per se, but generally speaking, what you're saying is that people want to do something and they're using these tools, many different tools to do that.
They are. I think we've also seen this concept of omni-channel really being proliferated and launched from retailers even back in the late 90s, early decade, when dot-coms were separate LLCs and not even coordinated with their brick-and-mortar presence.
Right.
Now you have screens like mobile, which for us at Sony and I'll share at the NRF, means really more than a smartphone. It's a product that's got mobility anywhere. You can use it for, you know, a tablet, a smartphone, a laptop. We all consider it to be mobile products, but people are using them very differently. And so understanding all of that across ages and across attitudes and behavior towards technology and devices is something we're spending a lot of time on.
So, I mean, something else that I know that you're responsible for is the CRM efforts. And I'm curious as to how CRM factors into all of this, because you must be accumulating like just tons of data about your customers, what they're doing, what they're buying, how they're using their devices, et cetera. How are you, what is the opportunity for using all that data to create a more integrated experience for them?
Okay, well, first I would be lying if I said we had it all figured out. I'm not sure that anybody does. And I think as you and lots of marketers know, privacy policies vary greatly across parts of the globe. They're very extensive and pronounced in Europe. They're a little bit more lax in America, but they're really catching on. And so that's the first piece I would say, is that we're sort of working on this as it's unfolding real time. The second thing I'd say is that the data we have is not necessarily the insight about the consumer. So because we're a retailer as well as a manufacturer, we have item transaction level data. For example, if you've registered a product or if you've transacted with us through our own retail environments to buy a product or a service or even register a product. But we've got to actually string that together into something that's meaningful and provide clusters of consumers that have like behavior and like interests, basically preferences. So across a number of Sony companies in the U.S., we've spent maybe the past year to 18 months collapsing close to 100 million names in terms of deduping them, looking at them across businesses, and recognizing, for example, that in this geography, the content consumption for entertainment, and by that I mean downloading a song, streaming a video, is changing really quickly and happening more and more frequently. So the likelihood that you're downloading a song, whether it's on our device or someone else's, through one of our services or someone else's, is really happening faster than you're buying that device to play it on. Or if you're streaming a video through our service or another service, that's happening faster than you're buying the TV. So we've actually had to collapse looking at the technology and entertainment behaviors against the product purchasing, upselling, and repair and refurb behaviors to get a complete holistic view of the consumer. Not only is that time-consuming, but it's got some, you know, privacy concerns around it. But we're getting a lot closer, and it's really painting a picture that's emerging of a very, very engaged consumer and someone who is utilizing lots of different services, probably being less brand affinity-driven for the devices than they have been in the past, and really painting a picture of that consumer across different consumer segments so we can more effectively market to them.
So I'm interested in that last point that you just made about consumers being less driven by brand affinity on the devices. Can you say more about that?
Sure. You know, this is probably my own personal view versus necessarily Sony's view, but you've got really camps of consumers that are now being driven more so by the content that they're consuming on these devices and the services through which they're consuming it than the device manufacturer that's providing the window into all of that content. So I often say within Sony, if you're under the age of 24, that age seems to be changing every year, you're going to be experiencing our brand on a product we likely don't even manufacture, And that's because of the rise of Android and a number of these open platform services that we support that are really allowing you to use any product to get to that content or that service that you're looking for. Obviously, the exception to that is Apple, which has a relatively, you know, phenomenal but closed system through iOS and the way that their devices stitch together. We've got a different view on that, obviously, and we've got a more open platform that's enabling you to use multitude of devices that you probably own. I think gone are the days, Denise, that every device in your house or on your person is from a single manufacturer.
Yeah, it almost seems like...
I think that's just a reality that these consumer electronics manufacturers, including us, are faced with.
Right. It almost seems like people's brand affinity is more with the... either with the content or the utility or the thing that they're trying to do and less with the specific tool that they're using to do it with. And so I think that...
I think so. And I think if you, Lisa, along with me, if you know how pervasive technology is and how much it improves your life in so many facets, it is coming from a plethora of companies and an awful lot of different devices that are servicing as windows into that world. So the likelihood that a consumer is owning a single device or using a single service is probably pretty slim.
Right, which really changes the role for a marketer at a brand like Sony. How do you develop brand equity and brand affinity and brand preference when you need to change your expectations for what that really looks like? I think that's so interesting.
You're absolutely right, mm-hmm. And I think related to your point, there's probably two builds that I would have to that. Mm-hmm. The first is that in the age of such a dominant digital and social footprint, you have to be able as a marketer to cede some control over your brand. Mm. So the very prescriptive guidelines and one-way conversation is really a thing of the past, because consumers now, with the emphasis they're putting on peer-to-peer marketing and friend influencers and all of that, are really looking at a very neutral playing field to make decisions on brands. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the second build I'd add to your point is really understanding that in this sort of digital age, a sole way to communicate what your brand is all about, i.e. a 30-second or 60-second TV commercial, or over-reliance on one channel as a form of media to talk about your brand, is probably not practical.
Mm-hmm.
So as a marketer, the tools of public relations, social, reputation management, brand management, those are all becoming deeply intertwined. Even paid advertising is really now being looked at as a 360-degree paid, earned, and owned scenario. Just the other day, we were talking internally about how the term activation has become so overused and is really being replaced by a discipline we're calling connections planning.
Hmm.
Finding a way to reach the consumer wherever he or she is, in the way in which he or she would like to be communicated to, and making sure that your brand is relevant, that you know what you stand for, and you're providing a point of difference. It's really a lot harder now to be a marketer than it's ever been. A lot more fun, too.
Right, I was going to say, yeah, it's both harder and more fun. Well, that's a great way for us to wrap up our time together. Susan, thank you so much for sharing about the challenges of the Great Convergence and how Sony is thinking about and meeting those. I want to let my listeners know that if you are attending the Retail Big Show, Susan will be speaking on Tuesday the 15th at 10 a.m. And if you're not attending the show, please sign up for my Twitter feed and check back on my blog, as I will be posting highlights. Susan, thank you again. I've learned so much, and I look forward to seeing all that happens for Sony and other brands in the space in the coming year.
And what a pleasure to reconnect with you again, Denise. Thanks and Happy New Year.
You too. Bye-bye. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care and thanks again.